Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Secure Your Life. I am your host, Diamond Taylor. You are listening to Business in the Making. It is all about trying to help you get in business, or if you already have a business, we're here to help you move that business into a positive outlook and gain some more prospects. It's all about getting your business or service on the top of mind of today's consumer. This segment is all about entrepreneurship. It is serious but fun, interactive show for those in business, looking to be in business, to start a business. This is definitely the show for you. So I would like to welcome you once again. But before we get started, we do need to take care of our disclaimer and take care of some housekeeping, so stay tuned for our disclaimer.
It is time to do a little housekeeping and give you our disclaimer for Secure Your Life. The views and opinions expressed on the show may not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the host, the sponsors, this station, and that of Pericon Productions. The content and or information that is referenced and referred to on this program are intended for entertainment and informational purposes only. We encourage our listeners to seek direct consultation from a qualified, licensed, and certified professional. The purpose of this show is to provide an open forum where one is free to express his or her opinion. In a no-holds-barred discussion about money, personal finances, and business matters. Now, it is time for you to sit back and participate and enjoy the show. And once again, thank you for joining us for secure your life.
Well, we are back. And for those of you all who just joined us, yes, this is Secure Your Life. It is all about business in the making. This segment is all for entrepreneurs, those who are serious, who would like to start a business or thinking about starting a business, or if you're already in business, then this is definitely the show for you. If you want to get ahead in your business endeavors and have fun in the process, then you have tuned into the correct station tonight. I'm going to give you the phone number if you'd like to call in. The phone number is area code 347-884-9343. Again, that is area code 347-884-9343. Or you can join us in the chat room. Or you can also join us on Twitter and Facebook because we are there also. So if you have anything, a comment or a question that you would like for me to read over the air and share with everyone, I will gladly be able to do that for you. But let us get our show started. We are going to talk about the steps to starting your business. Now, last week, as a recap, we talked about taking those talents, those hobbies that you may have, and turning them into a business that you can make money from. So turning your passion into a profit. So what you have a hobby, you can actually turn that into a business. So we talked a little bit about that. Now we're actually going to talk about taking the steps to starting that business. And before we can do any of that, you really need to think about, which is I consider the first step, which is create a life plan. Plan your life, then plan your business. But before we even get started with any business, let us take a brief comedy break on how other businesses start their business meetings.
Okay, people, let's get this meeting started. Our first order of business is to find out who brought the Krispy Kreme donuts.
I have them. They're right here.
Ah, excellent. And the coffee?
It's right here.
Good. Okay. Now, let's talk about this expense report. Can somebody tell me how the hell we spent $8 million last year on coffee and donuts? Well, as you know, our platform for real-time solutions is facing retribution from a government probe. I propose that we leverage the front-end architecture from those infrastructures and engineer a new solution next year that will enable us to implement the integrated network our engineering team has innovated. However, due to Asian market value deflation, we will undergo a massive reorganization. All the engineers will be summarily dismissed, and we'll hire two more managers to oversee this. I understand we'll be short-handed, but don't pay it any mind. We can expedite the partnership to fix the bottom line. This will drive all the B2B initiatives to redefine the value-added metrics of our mission. It'll generate a killer paradox so we can guide through delivery of all the cross-platform action items. Collaborative efforts for the e-market experience reinvent frictionless and synergistic variants, allowing us to maximize strategies that may arise and minimize the risk to our e-solution enterprise. Any questions?
Just one.
What the hell did he say?
I think he's making up words.
What the hell did he say?
Using nouns as verbs.
You can leverage anything if it's phrased the right way, but I still want to know. What the hell did he say?
Now, we need to have a meeting so we can prepare for our next meeting. Should we schedule a meeting to set that up?
I don't think we have enough donuts for that.
The organization will be more organized if we can embiggen our members with a Cromulent plan, which management can expedite and leverage to us both. Then we'll orchestrate the schema, which will maximize our growth. We need to synthesize some vertical technologies to harness the holistic web services of all of these and utilize the visionary system to produce some eye-catching web services for inter-office use. The ubiquitous nature of the back-end interfaces needs a proactive portal that we can put through its paces. From that, we'll evolve a cutting-edge e-business, which will harness the best-of-breed seats of our existence. Our methodologies to implement this plan require scalable, synergistic ways to meet demand. But I believe with the power of the open-source proprietary services that we can make a mark that will be legendary. Our mindshare will reach a targeted amount once the virtual deployment has finished rolling out. We'll get a huge ROI and some more jelly donuts, and then I'll give myself a huge bonus.
What the hell did he say?
I think he's making up words.
What the hell did he say?
Using nouns as verbs.
You can leverage anything if it's phrased the right way, but I still want to know.
What the hell did he say?
have a circle, two squares, and a bunch of arrows. If we connect the circle to the first square, you'll see that we can bypass the triangles, and that will save the company millions.
All right, we are back from our comedy break, and I hope that you don't have meetings just to have meetings, so we're going to help you create the perfect business that you can have instead of having the businesses that we just heard, where you have people saying, what the hell did he say? So if you just joined us, you're listening to Secure Your Life. This is Business in the Making, and we're talking about all about entrepreneurship. This is a fun but serious interactive show, so I'm going to allow you, before we get started, a chance to tell us a little bit about what you're doing, what you want out of your business. The phone lines are open, and as well as the chat room. You can contact us at area code 347-884-9343. Again, that is area code 347-884-9343. I'm going to take the first phone call. That is area code 312-375. You'll be next, but area code 312-217. You are on the air. Hello.
Good evening, Diamond, and how are you?
I am perfectly fine. This is a great day to talk about business in the making, and our first subject is going to be creating a life plan, planning your life and then planning your business. So I want to ask you, are you already in business for yourself?
That would be a yes. The company that I have is actually having a birthday shortly. It's going to be actually 12 years old.
Well, congratulations on that. I'm going to give you a chance a little bit later in our show to tell us a little bit about the business, how you got started, and what your advice would be for others that are looking to start their business. Now, let me ask you this before we go on, and I will open up the phone lines and also the chat room and take some of their questions and comments. My question to you is, when you decided to start this business, did you already have a plan? And I'm not talking about a business plan, but I'm just talking about when you actually started the idea. How did that happen?
Well, again, when I started the idea, and I have to say my business partner and I kind of did it inadvertently and in two different directions, but when I actually started and joined her, because she had started it before I did, I more so wanted to do, again, something that I love to do. And so with being the consultants that we are, it everything that I had learned and had really worked towards since I've been 16 years old actually came to pass. So it was really something that I worked at, did it step by step, and learned from the bottom up. So it's a life commitment if you're really true to it.
Okay. Well, then I'm going to add some other people to the line, and we also have someone that just tweeted me, and they're saying that they would like to know step by step what exactly is a life plan. Well, okay, a life plan, when you're planning your business, it is always better to have a life plan and then plan your business, because the most successful entrepreneurs are one that have harmony between what happens in their personal life and what happens with their business. And if you look at your current situation and really sit down and be honest about what's going on, because the elements of, as they say, the elements of anything that can go wrong will go wrong, does happen. So that is inevitable. So you have to look at your current situation. Look at your lifestyle. Look at your recreation. Look at your relationships. Look at your finances. And you need to sit down and actually write down and rate it. How important are these things, and how will your business or your business idea affect those things that are already happening in your life? So that is what a life plan is to me, and what I suggest anyone that is thinking about going into business for themselves really need to sit down and look at what's going on with you currently, and then say, okay, can I maintain my sanity, if you will, and all the things that are going on with my life right now, and also include a business? Because what happens when you own your own business, it is not like you're working for someone else. You're actually everything at that point, because it's all in your head, and you're actually taking the concept of things that are in your head and creating a business for yourself. So when you do that, you have to look at it. Am I organized enough, or am I going to need help making my idea into an actual business? What are your strong suits? What are you really good at? What are you weak at? So you have to be honest with yourself about those things and actually rate them to see whether or not you can be happy working for yourself. Because ultimately, you are responsible for everything. Is that what you and your partner did when you all sat down to create your business?
Yes, we actually did. We took all of our strengths and literally listed them together and found out what part of the corporation that each one of us was going to really be ultimately responsible for. We are together ultimately responsible for the whole company, but we actually each have our specialties, so we defer to the other one depending on what our client is asking for, and we come up with a dynamite product.
Okay, well, hold that thought 1 second. If you just joined us, you are listening to Secure Your Life. This is Business in the Making, and we're talking about all about being an entrepreneur. If you're looking to start a business or you're already in business and you would like to share what you have done with others, please give me a call. The phone number is 347-884-9343. Again, that is area code 347-884-9343. Or if you're in the chat room, please don't be shy. You can let me know if you have a question or a comment that you would like me to read over the air. We're also being tweeted at this moment, as well as getting messages off of Facebook. Now, area code 708-288, I'd like to add you to the conversation right now. Good evening. How are you?
How are you doing, Ms. Diamond? This is Brandon Riggins.
Hi, Brandon. How are you doing this evening?
I'm blessed. I can't complain.
Now, can you tell me, do you own your own business, or are you thinking about starting a business?
I own my own business. I am currently BWR Cleaning Service, Carpet Cleaning Service, located in Chicago.
Okay. And how long have you been in business?
I've actually been cleaning for 15 years, but I started my business last year in May.
Okay, now can you tell us briefly, how did you start that process?
It actually started by me working at the car wash, because actually I used to detail cars, so one of my main responsibilities was shampooing, so I converted the experience that I had in shampooing cars onto the home and office front.
Wow, that's amazing. So you took what you did as a profession, working for someone else, and decided that you were going to take those same skills and work for yourself.
Yes.
Well, that is excellent. So do you have, when you decided to start your business, how exactly did you start? I mean, I know you were working for someone else. Did you automatically just quit your job and say, okay, I'm done with working with the car wash, I'm going to start my own business, I'm going to get a building? How did you do it? What were the steps?
Yeah, that was actually how I did, because the way the economy is and going, it was like, well, I wanted to work for myself where it was going to be beneficiary, so therefore I could do long term. So, actually, when I, lost my job, I actually, got me a composition book and wrote my goals down and what I wanted to achieve.
You wrote a life plan.
Yes, I did.
Okay. So in your life plan, what did you include in your life plan?
In my life plan, I actually wanted to, like, expand it. So it was like if I was going to do any training, I was, like, going to have them, like, pretty much train after me. By me, I already have the experience. I did maybe 20 jobs already. I come highly recommended. So, therefore, I was like, anybody that I was going to train, I was going to make sure, well, when they got done working with me, they was going to be able to start their own and branch out.
Okay, well, see, so in other words, you decided you were going to possibly make this into a franchise business.
Yes.
Well, that is excellent. So if you just joined us, we are talking about entrepreneurs and how they got their start, starting a life plan, and I would like to give you an opportunity to join us in the conversation, and then we're going to move on to the rest of our subjects. Now, if you'd like to join us on the phone, you can do so at area code 347-884-9343. Again, that is area code 347-884-9343. Or you can join me in the chat room. The chat room is open. We also can be tweeted, so you can tweet us at Twitter at Secure Your Life. And give me a tweet, and I would gladly answer any questions or comments that you might have. But open the phone line to area code 815. 815, thank you for joining me. How are you this evening?
Hey, good evening, Diamond, and how are you?
I am doing fabulous.
Yeah. Oh.
Now, are you interested in starting a business, or do you already own your business?
No, I am in the process of getting an online business started. I had no idea there were so many steps you have to take in order to do this. But,
okay.
Hey, I've got the time, so it's just a thing of, say, just going to work on it. Now, what I did, I really ended up doing this. Really, it was a hobby that is turning into something that could be a business.
Okay.
All right, see.
Now, we talked about that last week, taking your hobby and turning it into a business opportunity, and I think that is a great thing that you are thinking about doing. And it's actually doable, especially in online business. And we're going to be talking a little bit about business structures in just a second. But since I have you on the line, when you decided to take your hobby and turn it into a business, did you actually sit down and create a life plan where you're actually having to understand that your business is now going to be a part of what you do every day? Or even if it's part-time, it's going to be a part of something that you are going to do and seriously do.
Well, not really. I really didn't write anything down. It was just a thing of, say, like, it's in my head.
Okay.
I guess you might say everything is written in the paper of my mind. I can't think of any better way of say, like, putting it.
Okay, well, we need to get some of those things that are in your head down on some paper so that you can make sure that you know, we want this to be a successful endeavor for you. So one of the things that you do need to do is sit down with pen in hand, think about the type of lifestyle that you want with your business idea. Because if you love doing it, then you'll work hard to make it successful. If it's something that you're kind of, maybe I want to do it, you can keep it as a hobby. If I make money, fine. If I don't, then that's fine too. You can do that, but you really have to be honest with yourself and sit down and really think about your business endeavors and how that's going to affect your everyday life. So we do suggest the following things. So you can get a pen and paper in hand and actually jot some of these ideas down. One, think about your current situation, like I previously said, and rate the responsibilities that you currently have, whether or not that's a relationship. Do you have to consider other people in your household when making a decision to start your business? Do you have to think about your finances? Do you have currently enough money to start your business idea on your own without looking for outside funding. Most people need outside funding, but it does take a little bit of your own capital to start a business, usually, depending on what it is. Then your skills and capability, you know, what do you do well? What are your strengths and what are your weaknesses? And then figure out how best to accommodate wherever you're weak, because you can find help. You can actually do barter trade services with someone if they may be stronger in one, you know, in some skills than you have, and if you're stronger in another, then someone else can actually help you. Are you deciding to do this with a partner? Are you going to do it by yourself? So there are certain things that you really need to start thinking about before you actually start your business. And this is not a business plan. This is just a lifestyle plan. So you want to plan your life around your business so that you can, you know, so that you'll have a real good look at how you're going to structure things. That's the first thing that I suggest that you do. There are also some really great websites out there that you can go to that will help you with starting your business, some excellent books. And I do suggest there is a book called So You Want to Start a Business, and you can find that book. It's actually titled that, So You Want to Start a Business. You can find that book at Amazon.com, Borders, Barnes & Noble, even though some Borders are going out of business, but you can still get some of those books online. So I do suggest that you do pick up some books that can kind of help you in making those business decisions. And then the next step is about choosing a business model. Now, we talked a little bit about this last week, but I'd like to go over that. Choosing a business model is important because you need to figure out whether or not you're going to do this full-time or part-time. Now, if you're going to do this full-time or part-time, it doesn't matter. Here are a few of the models. There are seven. You have home-based businesses, which you're going to use your home as your, you know, where you're actually going to operate from, where you're actually going to take a room or a section of your home, and you're actually going to run your business from your home. Now, that's why I said sometimes it is very important to do the lifestyle, you know, your life plan, because if you're planning to do a home-based business, especially if there's other people that live in the house with you, you do have to consider them as a part of your plan when you're doing your business. Now, there's also brick and mortar, where you actually are going to go outside of the home, find an office space or a manufacturing plant or however, whatever your business idea is, but you're going to do it outside of the home. Then there's e-commerce businesses. Then there's also doing business on eBay. Some people decide that they want to do sell things on eBay. That is another business model that you can look at. Franchising, which the other gentleman that was on with the cleaning business, he wants to start franchising his cleaning businesses to other people. Then there's also licensing your product. You may have a particular product that you want to sell to other people. Then there's also multi-level marketing. So you have many choices when choosing a business model. So I know that's a lot to take in. We'll go over this on other shows too. But most importantly is to decide which model fits you best. Yeah, you know, you do need to decide that, especially those of you who want to do a home-based business and you are sharing your quarters with somebody else, you really do need to consider, you know, what part of the house or apartment you're going to actually have your business. Those are some very important elements. So if you just joined us, this is Secure Your Life. We're talking about business in the making. The phone number is area code 347-884-9343. Again, that's area code 347-884-9343. Our chat room is also open. I'll be with you in the chat room in just a second. And those who are on Facebook as well as Twitter, I am here to take your questions and or comments, and I will read them over the air. And area code 312-217, do you have any questions or comments that you, since you've been in business for a while, that you would like to add as far as the business models, choosing the correct business model?
Well, choosing the correct business model will actually kind of help you gear and the consultant, or even if you go to the SBA, the Small Business Administration, it will kind of give them a really great way of helping you in the direction, because, again, when you have a home-based business, there are so many considerations. Getting brick and mortar, there's other considerations. When you start doing franchising, there's licensing and a lot of infrastructure things that change with each one of these models. And so anytime we get a client that's really starting a business, one of the major things is that business model. Because after that, we kind of get, it's kind of a universal understanding. In short, everyone kind of understands what this model is, where exactly you want to go with it, and then you can tweak it accordingly. But it's just a good base, a good solid base.
Okay, now when you started your business, did you all do home base? Was it brick and mortar? Did you license a product? Did you do e-commerce? Which business model did you use?
Actually, we did home base because by being a consultation service, we were able to do home base, and there were some really major considerations for that. We did not need brick and mortar because brick and mortar adds another dimension and also adds additional expenses. So we borrowed brick and mortar, and that's where virtual office space comes in. So we did do the membership for the virtual offices. So we did have that 9190 North LaSalle, that 950 Washington, which is actually, or even the Standard Oil building. They have virtual offices there, and you get to use the office space as well as the secretary answers the phone using your business name. So addresses do make the difference, especially when it comes into certain businesses. So that was
okay.
A,
does that change? I mean, what, where are you located? That, I mean, you know, is that in every state, in every city that they have these virtual offices?
Yes, actually, there are two major memberships that you can actually look into. Matter of fact, you just type in Google virtual offices. Depending on where you are stationed throughout this nation, every major city has virtual offices. If you do business from coast to coast, 9 times out of 10, you will use two different memberships, which we use two different memberships because, again, we are coast to coast. And now they have even spread to international market. So wherever we go, any of the major cities from San Francisco to L.A. to Vegas to Boston to Washington, D.C., we have virtual office space, meeting space where we can hold conferences, training sessions, even offer coffee and tea and lunch services. So it's actually something you kind of need to put in your budget, especially when you don't need that brick and mortar, but you do need training space and can't afford that brick and mortar just yet. So that's a really nice way of having it.
Okay, well, let me do this. If you just joined us, you are listening to Secure Your Life. This is Business in the Making, and we're talking all about entrepreneurship, steps to starting your business. And we have several callers waiting, as well as people in the chat room. Someone in the chat room asked about corporate credit cards or personal credit to propel your business. I'll get to that in just a second, but I did want to acknowledge that I did get your question. I also have someone that just tweeted, and they said, what are the ups and downs or the differences between the business models? Okay. The home-based business does have some low risk in the sense of the startup, because you're already paying for your resident. So whether you're renting or whether you own your resident, you're already paying that expense. So you don't have the outside expense on top of your residential area in which you are living. That's the upside. The downside would be that the fact that depending on your business, you maybe end up occupying a lot more, or actually I think allocating space that you usually were using for your living quarters now has to be designated for your business. So depending on, you know, the size of your home or apartment, it could cause you to actually have to change some things in order to coexist with your business. So, you know, and especially if you are a company that has shipping, you know, you have actual products and you have to think about storage space. So there's a lot of things that you need to consider when it comes to having a home-based business, whether or not your customers actually come to you, so you're actually going to end up with more foot traffic to your home. So there are a lot of things to consider that would be considered a downside to having a home-based business, depending on, like I said, it depends on what type of business you're going to, you know, go into, whether or not it is something that will, you know, where your customers come to you, then, you know, you may have to consider that because they're actually coming to where you live. Whether or not you have products and that, you know, the storage space and how much actual storage space do you have in your home. So you really need to consider those things when dealing with a home-based business. Now, brick and mortar, on the other hand, the upside to having a brick and mortar place is that it is outside of your physical residence, and you do have a what they would consider a business classic structure. You know, so it looks like more or less not just a hobby, but you're actually in business. And that could be a good thing, because that way you can actually have an opportunity to meet your clients face-to-face, be involved in the community, having that kind of setup, and you actually have a physical location, again, where you have walk-through traffic. And that's good, but it is a higher risk. The startup cost is higher because you have to lease the location, as well as think about, you know, the fact that you're going to have staff and personnel that you have to deal with. So there are some upsides and some downsides to the brick and mortar. Like I said, the startup cost is higher because it is not your physical location where you live. So that's the ups and downs on that. Now, an e-commerce business, this business model does not have foot traffic, but it does have web traffic. So everything is surrounding your website. So getting a dynamic web developer that's, you know, because you're selling your products on the web. So that is all what an e-commerce site is. And you can actually do this from your home, which means, see, now the e-commerce does have a lower risk factor. It has a lower startup cost. And you don't necessarily need personnel or inventory depending on how you structure your business. So there are some great upsides to that. It's easily scalable, which means you can either have a big business on e-commerce or small. You can actually assume someone else's e-commerce business, so you do have a little leeway with that. The downside of e-commerce is that you don't have, again, brick and mortar, shipping and inventory management, credit card processing. So you do need to look at that. Who are you doing your merchant banking with, or who's actually controlling that for you? So you know, that's something that you need to look at. You will actually be access to over a million, you know, at least 800 million people will have access to you globally for your e-commerce business because it is on the web, and you do need to make sure that you have a great web developer, someone that can actually, just because you build it does not necessarily mean that they will come. So you really need to have someone that knows the business, knows what to do as far as your web development in regards to that. And we're going to take some phone calls right now. If you just joined us, this is Secure Your Life. We're talking about business in the making. Business models is a topic that we're actually talking about right now. So 773-988, thank you for joining me. How are you?
How are you today?
I am fabulous. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I was listening. I hadn't formulated a lot of opinions, but I did want to add some additional information to what I did hear in the conversation about e-commerce business models and the fact that not only do they have so much flexibility with the type of products, the physical products that you may be selling, but there's also the fact that the internet was basically set up to as an information highway. Initially, that's what it was called, and the reason it was called that is because most of the products were digital products, and with digital products, you don't even have the problem with packaging or sending a physical product unless you have a building a business that was adopted or that uses or utilizes the internet. But if you're there are some e-commerce businesses that are just basically they sell what they call digital dust. I mean, you don't have to worry about anything because when a person buys a product, they simply hit a button and download or go to the member area and download whatever the particular electronic product is. And I think that's a great business model for a startup business and an individual business as far as one of the models on the e-commerce side. So I did want to leave that comment and kind of stay around and listen to see what other people have to say about that.
Okay. Well, let's see what our Twitter tweets are saying and then also in the chat room about that type of business model. Okay, I just got tweeted. Someone just commented and they said that they thought that was the best model. They've been in the e-commerce business for about 3 years now, and they absolutely love it.
Yes.
Well, I'm happy for them, and that's great. We want to hear more from people who have started those type of businesses. The next business model we were talking about was eBay. Now, eBay, again, is somewhat of an e-commerce. It's like a subcategory of an e-commerce. But on a larger scale, because you're actually dealing with goods, you know, where the person actually has the product and they're actually mailing it to the consumer.
Exactly.
So in your dealings, have you ever had to deal with or have you ever done anything on eBay?
Yes, I do eBay business constantly. In fact, I purchased a lot of goods from eBay. And eBay is pretty good in one respect, and that is they will walk you through it step by step, encourage you to become an eBay seller as well as a buyer, and they have programs on eBay that will teach you how to get started. And if you decide you wanted to really fast-track your business on eBay, you could actually find representatives in your area, whatever town, normally any town around the country, that there are representatives that will actually teach you step-by-step how to become an eBay power seller. If you have a good product, if you have products that are small enough to send through the mail or by FedEx or UPS, and you can get these products at a great price, so whether you make them yourself or whatever, you'd be surprised how many different things that people want on eBay. They post everything from shoes to hats to digital products. It's just a huge array of things. And then there are so many sources for actually getting products to sell on eBay. And, in fact, a lot of eBay will encourage you to go through your house and find things that you no longer need and just test them by putting them on eBay and to get you in the mood and get you into the selling business. It's a very good business model. I think it's a model that I would not prefer over digital products, because with digital products, if you were to become a marketing affiliate, you could go to ClickBank, sign up, get a ClickBank account, and ClickBank has more digital products to sell on the internet than any other organization that I've found so far. You could sign up to any of these products that you're interested in and register and learn how to market. And the funny thing is, you don't necessarily need to have a website. If you set up a opt-in page and set up a few things to reach your customers, you have to know a little bit about SEO. But once you learn that, to get your opt-in page into the rankings, the free traffic rankings, you'll be surprised how much activity you can get on your opt-in page and building a list that you can consistently sell to. And in fact, one affiliate marketing person had a list of 10,000 people and wound up making $1 million off of a small quality list of 10,000 people who are ready to buy. Because
amazing.
Yeah, because when most people go, the funny thing is that if you understand user intent, when you go into eBay, user intent, meaning if a user decides that he wants to learn how to do something, then he goes there specifically to learn how to do that thing. And if you could be in the middle and get his information and provide him with what he wants, you make a sale every time. And that's just for taking someone and directing them to what they want.
Wow, that is great. Well, let me open up the phone lines one more time. And the phone number is code 347-884-9343. Again, that is area code 347-884-9343. Our chat room is open, as well as Twitter and Facebook. If you'd like to give us a comment or a message, we will be glad to read them over the air. I also would like to say, real quick, getting through our business models, because I do really would like to talk about the actual business structure. You know, we do need to get to that so we can selecting the correct business structure is very important, because a lot of people who want to be in business, they don't know what's next. They have this great business idea, but then they don't know whether or not to incorporate or whether they need to do that, what type of incorporation they should go under. So we need to talk about that. But before we do that, let's go to franchising. Franchise businesses, for those who want to get in business, some people love franchise businesses because it is already a working model. It is brick and mortar most of the time, and they will train you to be in business for yourself doing their business. So just like McDonald's is a franchise, you can actually be, buy into being a McDonald's owner, and that's just an example of a franchise business. So the gentleman that called before, I think he has the shampoo business, 708-288. Are you still with me?
Yes, I'm still here.
Okay. So you were deciding that you wanted to start a franchise business. Did you look into how to do that, or, you know, the roadmaps to taking your business that you currently have and turn it into a franchise?
Actually, no, I haven't, but I have worked with a few business owners, and they have, like, told me this pretty much, like, learn the ins and outs of one business. That way I can be able to grow it.
That's true. You're basically training people to do what you do, and then they're buying into your business. I'm going to let you explain and how we can get in touch with you before our show is over. But I'd like to add on area code 312-788. Thank you for joining me. Hello. Okay, I think I may have lost that caller. Hello, are you there? Okay, I think I lost them. But if you just joined us, you are tuned in to Secure Your Life, and this is Business in the Making. I'm going to add another phone call, area code 803. How are you? Thank you for joining me.
Yeah, this is Thomas.
Hi, Thomas. How are you?
How are you doing?
I'm doing good. We're talking about starting our businesses, and we're talking about business model. We just ended with franchising. And do you have a question or a comment about that, or what about multi-level marketing?
Multi-level marketing is a broken model. it's not mathematically possible for a large amount of people to do well in it. It's been proven over and over again. I think the model for this century is referral marketing or affiliate marketing, because a lot of people can do wealthy because we basically refer people to things all the time and just don't get paid for it. And even the largest companies like AT&T, they'll pay you $250 in referral fees. So that proves the strength of referral marketing. So that's a realistic opportunity. Referral marketing is a scam. Always has been.
You want me to send a Gmail or my phone?
Okay, yeah, I would have to agree with that. A lot of people are into the multi-level marketing, but you are so right about the fact that we do every day someone is referring someone to something. So that, you know, to create that business model is a great way to have a business. Word of mouth marketing is the way because most of the time we will rely on our friends and families to give us information about businesses, and 9 times out of 10, we will actually take those referrals and follow up more so than we would if we saw a commercial or otherwise. We kind of do rely on our friends and family for that kind of information, and we do follow up on that. But I want to real quick, take some, and someone just tweeted me and also in the chat room, they wanted to know about starting your business with should you start a business with corporate credit or personal credit to propel your business?
So you're going to have to personally guarantee it. You have to personally guarantee it for 2 years anyway.
Okay, so
you
have to personally guarantee
a new corporation.
Yeah, for 2 years, a new corporation, you actually end up personally guarantee. One of the, you know, a couple of years ago, there was some, I won't necessarily say there were scams, but, you know, what they were doing, there was this group of people that they called themselves the credit millionaires, and they were basically, you know, were getting these, you know, high lines of credit, and they would charge you 10% of the credit that they would secure. So let's say, for instance, they got, you know, $250,000 worth of credit for you. They would charge you a fee of $25,000 based on that. And so they would get, like, they have a shell corporation that's been in existence for, like, 10 years, and the CFO of the corporation was a guy who had, like, an 820 credit score. And so regardless of what your personal credit was, he's able to get you credit because, you know, basically, you know, you would end up falling up under their corporation. So, you know, so basically if you're a small corporation getting started, you know, you'd end up personally guaranteeing the debts for, you know, 2 years anyway, unless you do something the only other way around that is if you, you know, started your own credit history with that, you know, corporation and, you know, you did something where it was asset-backed debt, meaning that you had like a CD and you had credit cards that you basically put in the corporation's name for a period of 2 years and you have like 3 or 4 accounts. That basically, say, for instance, it was like a CD that had a couple $1,000s in, and you borrowed against the CD for a year or two, you know, you would create your own credit profile based on the fact that you had assets in the bank with them.
Exactly. Any corporation that's newly formed, if it has assets to start with, then it can start with new credit, but it has to have assets to back that credit.
And that's
okay.
How you can...
No, go ahead. Go ahead, Tom.
That's the way you would get around it is you'd have to have some money to start with, and then you could basically have a clean slate and never have your personal stuff tied up in it because it wouldn't be going off of you as a person. It would be going off the assets of the corporation.
Okay, well, speaking of assets of the corporation and actually starting, let's talk about real quick our business structure. And actually starting the business structure, because a lot of times what happens, a lot of people are doing business, but they don't have an entity. They're actually working as a sole proprietorship, which is the first actual operation that you can do. You don't have to incorporate to be in sole proprietorship. I don't think that that's the wisest thing to do, but a lot of people are sole proprietors. And there's some downsides to that as well as some upsides. Not very many upsides as far as I'm concerned in the sole proprietorships, but that's just my own opinion, and this show is about a person's opinion. So let's talk about that real quick. When you own your own business and you put it in your own name, then that's considered a sole proprietorship. Now, Thomas, tell me, do you think that that's a wise thing for a person to do?
No, no, there's no benefit to it. You know, really, some people will say, well, it's simpler and everything like that, but setting up a corporation is not necessarily, you know, complicated either. I mean, you can go to a website like, you know, LegalZoom. There's several websites that basically will act as registered agents for you to set up a corporation. Two places where most corporations are set up in this country are in Las Vegas and Delaware, because of, you know, the court systems are more suited for business. And, you know, in the state of Nevada, the reason Nevada specifically is a haven is because there's no state income tax. And, you know, there's at the time, you know, when the casinos were first being built, it was heavily, you know, run by organized crime. So they had to have the laws suited to that. So that's the reason why they don't have a information sharing agreement with the IRS. And so, you know, basically, and they still basically use what's called the bearer shares principle, meaning that, you know, you can actually switch the corporation's ownership and basically buy the stock certificates, whereas other states don't have that. So it's so Vegas, specifically in the state of Nevada, is usually the most advantageous place to start a corporation.
Okay. So then there's also partnerships. You know, you can set up a sole proprietor, sole partnership. I don't think that's necessarily a wise thing to do either, but people do go into partnerships without setting up a corporation. Again,
yeah, I mean,
that's very risky.
You know, there's different variations of partnerships. There's LLPs. Like, you know, if you notice, a lot of professionals will set up LLPs because, you know, potentially in a lot of cases, the state, you know, because of the type of profession, sometimes they require someone who's a managing principal to have a certain amount of liability because of, you know, for instance, a lot of times you'll see attorneys act as LLPs and they're only, you know, limited up to what percentage of the company that they own. So, you know, there's large law firms where they may have, you know, 50 or 100 partners, or like an accounting firm, you know, like someone who worked, I worked for Ernst & Young, and he was like a, you know, less than 1% owner of Ernst & Young, you know, it was an LLP. So it depends on the size and scope of the company and what you're doing, but, you know, if you want the most legal protection, you know, most legal protection comes from your corporation. But even with that, you know, just being honest, you know, the piercing the corporate veil is very simple. I mean, you have to make that corporation bulletproof in order, because I actually sat on a plane next to a lady named Cheryl Jackson Peel, and she was a forensic accountant and CPA, and she told me about this. She basically, that's what she got paid to do, was pierce the corporate veil. She used to be an IRS auditor. Very simple to do. I mean, you'd have to basically be very meticulous and make sure that there's no commingling of your funds. So that way, you know, you can show very distinctly that you're separate from the corporation. The corporation's separate from you. I've seen cases where people, you know, own corporations. Their corporation's paying their house note and everything. You know, and that's, I mean, they get tripped up and they'll be eaten alive by the right attorney. So you'd have to be very meticulous on how you do it.
Right, and then you do need to definitely keep your personal finance and your corporate or company finances completely separate.
Yeah.
I would even advise not even having, I mean, you'd have to have separate bank accounts. You don't even necessarily have to have them at the same bank.
Yeah, exactly.
So there's corporations, which there are two types. You have a C-Corp and then you have an S-Corp. And the S-Corp is for small business. So what are the benefits of having an S-Corp versus a C-Corp?
You escape the double taxation, and basically you have the option of, you can declare some of your income in the form of a W-2. The income can either go to your W-2, and then you can still take distributions from the company, or you can simply have, you know, the earnings retained by the company. And so it's a very attractive vehicle for a lot of people. just because you get, you know, a lot of the great perks and stuff of, you know, having the corporate entity and getting the W-2s and the pay stubs as an employee of your corporation. Some people, you know, get it confused. They, you know, because, you know, I get into arguments with people about, oh, I'm not an owner of a business. I'm an employee of the corporation that I own. Okay, you're self-employed. You own more than 25% of it, period. So, yeah, that's one of the little, you know, nuances. But, yeah, the C-Corp, you know, there's some very subtle differences between the two, like, you know, as far as the number of shareholders, who can be members of the board, members of the corporation. Like, if I'm not mistaken, I can't remember if the C or the S-Corp, but, like, I think, like, it might be the C-Corp, the people who are on the board have to be either U.S. citizens or resident aliens. I think you can't have, like, foreign nationals as part of your board on C-Corp. So there's some very, very subtle differences between the two. Sometimes, you know, banks will only lend to C-Corps. Like, they don't like to lend to S-Corps. They like to lend to C-Corps because of the structure of the C-Corp. And basically, you know, you have to, there's more filing stuff that you have to do with the C-Corp than you have to do with the S-Corp. So, but that's, yeah, like I said, this is usually for a larger business.
Okay.
C-Corp.
And then we have our limited liability companies.
An LLC, I mean, LLC is considered to be the easiest one. I mean, your income flows through from an LLC. You can pay yourself a W-2, but it flows straight to your 1040. You can have an LLC with more than one person, and, you know, basically the income is split up on, you know, K-1s, and it's a form 1065, and blah, 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 and then goes to your 1040. So it's a flow-through vehicle, meaning, like, the income basically comes to the corporation, passes through to you as an individual. And it's, like I said, it's just a simplified way of forming a corporation. Gives you the same types of protection that corporations do. But once again, it's just about, you know, can you shield yourself from liability because there's such a close relationship between you and the LLC. So.
Okay, so now there we have it. We have the four different types. You have sole proprietorship, partnership, corporations, C-Corps, as well as S-Corps, and then you have limited liability. And then you also did talk about the LLPs, which is limited liability partnerships.
Mm-hmm.
For most professionals, like lawyers and accountants, are usually under that type of corporate structure.
Mm-hmm.
So we have covered a lot of ground this evening. And there's more to come, and I want to know if you all have any comments or questions in the last 3 minutes that we have left. We're a little bit over time, but if you're in the chat room, I can still take your comment or question. If you want to tweet me real quick, you can do that also. Someone in the chat room just said, let's see, $25,000 to $250,000 in credit, not a bad exchange for your business, generate positive cash flow. Okay. So, I guess basically the biggest thing is for after you've decided your corporate structure, most people who have a business idea, they want to know how do they go about gaining money for their business. And I know, Thomas, you deal with banking all the time and businesses. So, what is the first thing that a person who wants to either start a business or grow their business, if they're actually bankrolling their business right now, if they want to get outside funding, what would you suggest that they do?
You need to have a comprehensive business plan, and then, you know, they need to show a track record. I mean, if they have an existing business, show a track record of success, you know, and sales and, you know, projections. I mean, that's really what it's about. It's the numbers. And, you know, from there, you know, you can, there's things besides banks, there's angel investors, there's a number of things that are out there, but it starts with a very thorough business plan. Because without the business plan, you know, that's what business people look at is, you know, what are your numbers saying? If the numbers, because unfortunately, you know, in line, people lie, but the numbers in a lot of cases just don't. If you're not making sales, if you're not you know, growing your business, you're not, you know, gaining market share, then your business, you know, is susceptible to die because you're not feeding the beast of cash flow. So.
Okay, well, in our last few minutes, I would like to give an opportunity for those of you all who are on the line and you actually have a business, I would like to give you an opportunity to tell us a little bit about your business and how we can get in touch with you, because it's all about networking and marketing and getting your business and service on the top of mind of today's consumer. So area code 708-288, could you please tell us a little bit more about your business and how we can get in touch with you?
Oh, yes. I'm Brandon Riggs. I have DWR Carpet Cleaning Service. I also have a special going on where I'm doing $25 per room, and I'm also doing cars. I can be reached at 312-834-3089. I can also be emailed at info@bwrcleaningservice.com.
Okay, give that one more time because that was a little bit too quick. You couldn't probably write that down. So give us the phone number and the website again.
Okay. The phone number, 1312-834-3089. The email address is info@bwrcleaningservice.com.
Okay. And area code 773. 988, do you have any business, or if you want to let anybody know about how they can get in touch with you or your e-commerce business or how to get their website up, could you please give us some information if you'd like to share that?
Yes, I can be reached at 773-988-7238. My name is Melvin Woodard. And this is basically to give people some idea of how to get into the what I call the really clean business model of starting your own business with limited funds and just hard work and selling digital dust.
Okay, and let's see. Area code 312-217. I know you have a multitude of businesses. I'm not sure which one. I know that you told me, you actually texted me and told me that you're working on an art and entrepreneurial project.
Yes, it is. One of my clients is a professional artist and actually has a art business. So one of the things that they have asked the company to assist them with is dealing with their art entrepreneurial program, which means the art of business, and that's what it's titled. It's for emerging artists and artists who, again, have an idea and want to become a professional and start selling it online, or actually going to festivals and dealing with collectors. In short, we're making the gallery ready.
Okay, so how can they get in touch with the that particular program? What's their phone number or web address or email?
Well, because we're actually in partnership with them, you can still contact me at, that would be 312-217-1238, or actually the company's website, that would be S as in Sam, L as in Lion, F as in Frank, L as in Lion, S as in Sam, U as in Unicorn, consulting@yahoo.com. And that will also, that will go directly to our company. And just if it's business consulting or whatever, one of the two, just type in what you need and your question, and we'll be more than happy to help your viewers and your listeners as well with any concerns that they have, and we'll answer you back.
Okay, well, if there's anyone else that's on the line, if you would like to share what business you're in, or if you have some contact information or something that you'd like to share, this is your opportunity to do so. Please speak up. Or if you're in the chat room, you can also do the same thing. And if not, I want to thank you all. Is there anyone else who would like to share what business they're in or because this is all about networking and getting the word out about getting our products and services on the top of mind of today's consumer. That's what Business in the Making is all about. So if not, I would like to thank you all for joining me for another episode of Business in the Making for Secure Your Life, and I will bid you all a good night until tomorrow, where we'll be back on the air with Secure Your Life, talking about your kids, your money, your plans. So, good night, everyone, and thanks again.
Good night.
Good night, Diamond.